I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome into another episode of The Memo. It's Thursday, December 10th. We're back with you again. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, it's W. Derek Russell.
How are you, sir?
The W stands for William.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to tell us you didn't have a middle name.
While we're on the subject of things, I told you I had a middle name. It's Derek.
You didn't have a first name. Yeah, well, you have a first. Excuse me, you have a first name, and it's William. So now we know.
Yeah, that's no secret.
A little investigation.
On my little nameplate over there, if you ever walked by my desk, yeah,
it says W. Derek Russell.
No, it doesn't.
It says
William.
Not that nameplate. This doesn't matter.
This wasn't a secret. You're supposed to be a reporter.
The listeners didn't know.
It took months.
And now they know.
You could have just walked to a desk and done something a little bit faster.
Terrible. I'm a busy guy.
I'm not even going there.
Busy guy. What?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Brad?
I'm okay today. Yeah. Better than yesterday.
What's wrong yesterday?
I've got shingles.
Boo.
Who's that? Oh, hey, Lauren.
Hey,
oh,
it's Lauren. I've been
Wood
here.
Hi.
How's she getting here?
I didn't know we were going there yet.
No, that's okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You speak when spoken to.
I'm all medicated up. I'm doing better today. Yeah.
So you hit 40 and just
and
woo!
Bam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought it was a pulled muscle. Turns out, no, it's shingles.
Those are two very different
but
things.
But they can feel similar because it felt like muscular pain on my side, and then the rash came.
Uh-huh. All that fun I still stuff. Think it's ringworm.
Nah, it's not ringworm.
It's not cleaning properly.
I turned 40 last week, and everything just goes
it happens.
To pot. Yeah.
Well, it's fine.
Can't wait to see what's next. Yeah, well, I don't know. My hair is doing
keep
okay right
all
now.
All that product and... It's actually no product. That's all real. That's how he wakes up every morning. He just goes and sticks his finger straight in the electrical socket.
Yeah, yeah. Quick and easy.
Wakes him up.
Low maintenance.
No coffee needed.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I said, better.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here with us today.
Me too.
I missed you.
Oh, I missed you too. How's the play going?
It's good. Ask Lauren about it. I don't know.
Oh, hey, Lauren, how'd the play go?
Hi, it's going really well.
For those who haven't been tuning in for some odd reason, Derek and Lauren are involved in A Christmas Carol, which is playing this week at the Lyric, and they had a couple of performances yesterday. It's where was it at?
At the Lyric.
At the Lyric.
Oh, okay.
Theater.
I thought it was at the school. For the schools at the Lyric.
They bust them in.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, the opening night is technically tonight, but we did have some school performances yesterday.
Okay. Sold out.
Yeah.
Two
it was
sold
awesome.
Out performance.
Nice.
And we got an applause, so that's good.
Yay, you didn't suck.
Yeah. Kids will let you know. Yeah. They'd be like, oh. Yeah. But it was really funny because they were, after both of them, you know, we go out into the hallway, like the cast, and we say hi to everybody. They were like, where's the ghost of Christmas future? Where is he? Like, that's all the
several
kids wanted
teachers
to see.
Told me they had students climbing up their teachers to get away from him, that it was so
who
spooky.
Was it? Who played that?
Well, you don't see him. He's just—he looks like death. You know, he's cloaked and everything. Okay. Right, the way the light hits him in the fog.
It's
worked hard
cool.
on that.
But, yeah, nice. All the kids
I worked hard to terrify
so cool.
young children.
That's what you do best.
Yeah. Show him your shingles, Brad.
I want to terrify some people. Yeah. Ladies present. Sorry.
Tonight's performance of A Christmas Carol, the Ghost of Christmas.
Brad shingles.
This is your future, kids. Shingles. Deal with it.
You turn 40. Forget Scrooge's password. Not mine. This is Lauren's first time ever in a show.
It is. Yes.
Having two sold-out audiences to open with.
No pressure.
And I like wasn't nervous on stage at all. It was pretty awesome.
I guess if you know your lines.
I know my lines. Like
no need to be nervous.
Yep. I could recite them all
I'd
right
do my
now.
Thing. I would know my line. I've never done a what?
I can't.
Go. I thought you could.
Oh, jeez.
We had her do this on the show the other day, didn't we?
She just...
No. This was at your house.
That's right. It was at my house.
And I had to work up for it, but I can do it. I can do it right now.
Okay.
I can do it right now. Okay. You ready? Belinda, lend a hand here, dear. Your father will be home before we lay the cloth for supper.
Nice.
Very good.
There you go.
So,
she's got energy. She wrangled. She had six kids. I don't know when she had the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, and I know you said this was a no-no.
I know. By one.
But it was actually Christmas Carol's on TV last night.
And we watched it.
And I was saying it saying my lines with the characters on TV.
Yeah.
It was like verbatim. Yeah, it was awesome.
Love that movie.
That's which version was it?
George this C. Scott.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's the best version I've seen.
I may have said this on the show before. I was doing research before we started this, but one of my favorite versions is, of course, the Muppet version. The Muppet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but it's one of the most factual-based versions ever done on screen.
One of the most faithful?
Yeah, faithful adaptations ever done. Because they actually use a narrator in the story and everything. And it's almost word for word.
Wow.
Except it's, you know, Gonzo doing it. But that's really besides the point. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Thomas Wells joining us later. He did a photo essay. Do we call those photo essays?
Yeah, photo essays.
He did one last Monday on the set, the construction of the set.
A Christmas Carol,
for
yes.
A Christmas Carol.
Right.
So it's a themed show since we opened tonight. We're in no way biased whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Please come.
Tickets still available?
I don't know.
I think there might be some on Saturday. I know Thursday and Friday.
I think there's a few singles for Friday. Tonight is completely sold out. Yeah. I believe tomorrow night is just about sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening at this point.
2 and 7:30.
So 844-1935.
Wow.
Cool.
Awesome.
Get your tickets now. We're going to turn our attention to Mud and Magnolias, which is part of why Lauren is joining us today, not just to talk about her scathing role as Mrs. Cratchit. Mrs. Cratchit doesn't even have a first name. Speaking of people who don't have first names.
Yeah, that's me.
It's William Cratchit. That's her name. That seamless segue of Brad exiting the room and Ellie Turner coming in to join us. And Lauren, now with that means it's time for a new issue of Mud and Magnolias. How are you, ladies? I've already asked Lauren.
Excellent.
Ellie, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you?
Yes. How are you?
How was Santa? It was such a pleasure to see him here at the Daily Journal.
Yes. All of his energy is tiring to the normal person. Me. I'm tired of Santa.
So on the level, you're the normal person and Santa's the... Okay, I just want to make sure we got the matrix.
I don't know what that says about me, but yeah.
Well, it was good to have him here for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. It was a great event.
It
was
awesome.
For our first time hosting, I think we got a really great turnout.
We had about 100 kids come through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would have said more than that, it seemed like, almost.
Well, I say we had 100 kids. We had about 100 letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My kid didn't write one, so that's you got 101 right there.
She wasn't feeling it. She was feeling Santa, no one else.
I don't know what she believes or doesn't believe.
Yeah.
She's smart.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. She's a smart something. But she did come and visit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ellie made me get my picture with Santa. But that didn't go over too well.
Stay tuned. My photography skills aren't the best, so they were darker because the lights didn't. I don't know what the whole situation was, but I think we could do some editing. You were full of joy. Like, in those, you were laughing.
Well, he put his arm around me. I said, I'm not sitting on your lap. And he said, why? I said, I'm Jewish, sir. I don't know.
And then the funniest thing is he said, I'm Jewish, and Santa jerked his hand back really quick. He was like,
he just started apologizing.
Like, oh, I can't touch you.
No, we're good. We're good.
Amy Speck had Santa sit on her lap.
Really?
There's a photo of it.
Our first child was Rosemary Gerald, who is the, I just called her Gerald, but her name is Gerald with a no
D. We got it. We know.
Anyway, that was his first kid. She jumped right up there. She was having a good time. Well,
Brad sat on his lap, and now that explains why Santa's in the emergency room.
What?
With shingles. You're good. Glad to see you still over there, buddy.
We haven't said a word about Mud and Magnolias.
No, we haven't. That's fine. But the latest issue, it's Christmassy because it's the December
January
issue. And, of course, we've got a Christmas tree on the cover. You guys have two lovely photos inside here of yourselves.
Well, thanks, Derek.
Being nice. I can take it back if I don't need to. No, it really is. Who wrote this, the tintype?
Sandra Nispel.
Yes, Nispel. She is German, so that's what her name is. But, what?
No, you're good.
Can I not say that? Should that be edited out?
No, it's fine. I just like the explanation. She's German, so that's why her name is.
That's why her name is.
Well, it's the way that it...
I was wondering what adjective you were going to use.
Like what?
Stupid.
Confusing. Yeah. No, she wrote the story. And Lauren, you found him. Mm-hmm. I guess is the best way to.
Was that another story for our college prep section? And this lead, we were doing a story on a pastry cook in Oxford, and she was like, "Oh yeah, this guy, he does tintype photography." And I was like, "Wait, is he? Where is he from?" And she's like, "Oh, here in Oxford." I'm like, "All right, what's his name? How can I find his work?" And then from there, contacted him and was like, he was super excited to do a story with us. So one Sunday, we actually spent like a whole Sunday morning with him, and he showed us the whole process. You know, Ellie sat for portrait first, and we got to see, like, he has his dark room is in a trailer. So he's totally mobile. So he goes to different festivals and, like, art, you know, gatherings and things, and he will take portraits of tintype portraits of people. And for people who don't know what that is, it was like really popular, I think, around the Civil War area in that time period. And it's a wet plate process, and you take a piece of metal and expose the photo on this piece of metal and develop that. So it was fascinating to see this process. You know, as a photographer, it was really awesome to see. But just like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just even for not, like, I'm not a photographer. Yeah. And I was just like, that's probably one of the coolest experiences I've seen. I mean, he has all of this. And the strangest thing, or maybe strangest / coolest thing, was that he is working with all of these chemicals that could kill you. Like, they are serious chemicals that he's, like, working together. And, I mean, and then the other thing is, like, he does all of this work, and it took him, I sat for the longest, Lauren was the second, but to get everything just right, it took forever, which I grew to appreciate after we saw, like, the finished product. But well, like, he had to, like, make sure all of it.
From a digital perspective, like, I can take a photo and look at the back of my camera instantly and see, oh, my photo exposure is too dark, or I need to move the lighting.
Or you blinked.
Yes.
Which I thought every time. I was like, wait, did I blink in that one? Because the light is like 4,800 watts. So it's just like
ugh. Yeah. How long do you have to sit still? Because it's a longer exposure. It was instant. Oh, it is? Well, okay.
He strobed it. So it was. So he's like, you know, traditionally you'd sit for like a couple minutes.
Right.
But he's like, just to get a quick exposure. But, you know, for Ellie's, it was like, oh, the light's not catching. Let's adjust this. And then, but you have to develop the whole photo, or you have to develop it, and then you can see. So it's this whole process that goes into it before you can see, like, oh, we need to adjust the lights.
Mine was really dark a couple of times, pretty much every time. And he was like, I say that people who, like, that can't catch the light with them, that they have a dark soul. So, I don't know what that says about
a dark soul.
Lauren's looks like a very typical.
She's lit. Like just.
I mean, hers looks like a civil, like an actual. You look like you have secrets.
I do. I have tons of secrets.
You do.
I wanted to
look like you're carrying so many secrets.
I wanted to look like a boss.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I think that was achieved.
Always.
I'm not telling you everything.
But yeah, it was so really cool to just, and then he like puts them in the oven, and they have to, I don't, I mean, it was really
cool seeing the whole process from start to finish.
And it's really cool that you could just be at an art festival, and he could be like, hey, I can take your tintype.
Like,
and
he
just
does,
like,
portrait couples or family photos, you know, like, it's, I don't know, it's just really neat.
Brad, we should get one done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
To hang up in here.
I saw those, the proofs of them before the magazine came out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that could be y'all's new advertisement.
Michael Foster is his name. We have not mentioned his name yet.
Of course,
we're just like this guy who can do this really cool stuff.
Michael N. Foster.
Michael
he's on
N. Foster.
Facebook and Instagram. You should check out his work. It's really, really great.
Because he's one of the only ones in the area, right?
I mean, this is a loss. It's like an art to still do any form of darkroom photography. So I think it's really, he does it, you know, kind of as like to keep something like that alive.
I'm not really a photographer, neat. But the dark room aspect has always fascinated me. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go in one and do all that.
Yeah.
That's it. I just do it that one time. And then just the one time. I'm terrible at this. I'll never do it again.
Well, he said that he's had, for in his little trailer, he said a lot of people ask him to see the process because they've never experienced it. So he has just enough room for somebody to stand next to him and watch him do it. And so I got photos like in the dark room that we printed too.
Yeah, it was. That was probably one of the cooler stories that, I mean, I've ever been a part of.
Rasputin with the Captain America mask is an
Harpo.
That's
friend.
Harpo.
Yeah, that's
that they were talking
Harpo.
About over and over again. He photographs really well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his beard. It's cool. It's awesome.
It's a good story, but the more than the story, and I think specifically what the story is about, the photos really make it too, just to see the process and the chemicals that he.
And the first page or other portraits he's taken, as we just mentioned. I think so, yeah.
You can actually see Lauren's photo being exposed in one of the behind-the-scenes pictures in the...
Yeah, in the dark.
In the collage there.
He let us see the whole process, which is cool.
What else are we proud of in this issue, ladies?
Well, another cool story, I think, going from Oxford to Starkville. We did a feature on Claire and Anne with Aspen Bay. And we actually have what's one of our video for the issue is a DIY, like holiday DIY craft with Claire. And they were super sweet. They were both really nice. And we kind of got to see, like, the store is always decorated really cool. It's right on the main, I don't know if it's Main Street exactly, but right in downtown Starkville. It's beautiful if you ever have a chance to stop by. And they have really cool things for sale. And they spend a lot of time, they, like, decorate the store and they kind of do different, you know, window displays and kind of have the store all set up. And they also give you home tips on, like, ways to decorate your home.
Yeah.
So
they're really cool. I always find that I'm creeping when I find the best stories. But I was creeping Claire on Instagram. I saw, maybe I saw it because of Aspen Bay. I'm not sure. But I started looking at it, and she just has a great design aesthetic. Like, she can just, her eyes... She has a great design aesthetic. And so we just reached out to them and wanted to know if they would be part. And what's interesting is that Aspen Bay is the retail location for DPM Fragrance. And they really have not had that many stories done on them, they said.
Yeah.
So I was glad that we got to spotlight the retail store and what they do. They travel all over the place and go to different stores and locations to gather inspiration and then bring it back to downtown Starkville. I think what they've got going there is a really cool setup. Yeah, and the video is awesome. It's a cute little banner. It says Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
What should somebody do if they want to advertise in Mud Magnolias?
Probably the easiest route would be to call the journal. And then you can be directed to whatever account rep is over your territory. I can certainly help with that. I mean,
and if you got an idea for a story, if anybody listening, just email you, contact you for that.
Yeah.
How would they email you, Ellie?
Ellie dot Turner. That is ELLIE dot Turner, TURNER, at journalinc.com.
With a C.
With a C. Yeah, I'm always open. I mean, even if they want to say something nice about the magazine, please. Send it my way. Nothing.
What
nothing
if they
mean.
Want to say something negative?
You can do that too.
And keep that to yourself.
I'll reply.
Okay. Is that a threat?
Take it how you want it. Look at
picture,
my tintype.
Look at
first.
That picture at her in the front of your pages.
Look at that tintype before you do it.
Where can we pick up a copy of the latest Mud Magnolias?
So they're in various locations around Tupelo, New Albany, Oxford, Fulton, Amory, specifically our advertisers, but we do have some rack locations around. And what I tell people who call and ask how they can pick up one out and about, the best place is probably the journal, just so I know that we have some here, because they go so quickly from their racks and the locations that I can't promise you they'll be out. But yeah, always come by the journal, and we have copies here. And if you don't live close by, you can email me, and I'd be happy to mail you a copy. So any way we need to get you what you want.
They will do it. Ladies, thanks for joining us too.
This whole thing.
Joining us now is another Daily Journal photographer, Thomas Wells, joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Doing well. Talk to you about your In Focus that ran last Monday in the Daily Journal. I've said every time you guys come on, the three of you, Lauren and Adam, this is one of my new favorite things that you guys have been doing. You take such amazing photos for us every day, but to get your own spotlight on Mondays is great, and being Sunday editor, I've loved seeing them ahead of everybody else.
Well, thank you.
So and this week you did one that's close to my heart. You showed my set from A Christmas Carol.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there was no bias there at all
whatsoever.
No, actually, I, you know, we go there almost every Monday, once or twice a month, while they're doing the play for the scene section. And usually when we get there, the set's already complete, and every now and then I'll just kind of stop in and be curious, see how the set's coming out. And so it was very easy fix for me for the In Focus this week to, hey, why don't we do a behind the scenes how these sets actually come together? Because nobody sees that except for the cast members and the people who actually volunteer to build those sets.
And in this case, not even the director.
Exactly, yeah. You walked in one day
literally pulling the curtain back here. Thomas had said, hey, I want to do this. And I said, well, I'll keep you abreast of when it's going to come up. And I walked in backwards one day and ran smack into the set that I didn't know was there.
Yeah, and then you had to break the bad news to me on Monday, and I was not a happy camper.
Sorry about that.
But it was almost complete, and we went scrambling. But it all worked out. And, you know, the average theater goer does not know how much goes into that. All they see is a finished product. They don't know it takes weeks to build and how much manpower and volunteer time they put into it. I just thought it'd be a nice way to show how much work actually goes into making those sets.
Or in this case, the 4 days that went into it, when what should have been 2 weeks earlier.
But yes,
that's
yes.
That's what happens in the theater. Yeah. Sometimes the schedules and Thanksgiving hit us hard at hard times. So Steve Miller and Dave Dawson, who were two TCT regulars, they did my set for me. And constructed very. I mean, I literally drew out on a sheet of paper what I wanted, and I should have given that to you too, just me showing that to them. But and they brought it to life. So just talk about kind of what you were looking for when you were shooting them.
Well, what I was looking for is the interaction of them and how much trouble it is just for two guys to be trying to build a set that looks, you know, mammoth compared to what other sets are. And the fact that they built it in some relatively quick time. And me as a kind of a personal builder who builds stuff at home and whatever, it's kind of interesting to see that it's not as stable as everybody thinks it is. It looks like it could be there forever, but in reality, it's only going to be there for a couple of days. And so it's not, quote, built to specs like, you know, studs are 16 inches on center. It's one stud every 4.5-5 feet. It's just, if you lean on it really hard, it's going to fall over.
We're not OSHA approved.
Exactly, not OSHA approved by any means. There would be a lot of fines going on if OSHA walked in there at any point. But, you know, that's one of the interesting things about those sets. It's the, quote, smoke and mirror effect.
Yeah.
It looks good from the, you know, from it until you get really up close and start looking at it. But that's the whole beauty of it, is how fast they can really kind of hodgepodge it together and make it look really good. Because, you know, those two, their claim to fame is the haunted theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they really love doing that, and so this is kind of a nice little spillover for them.
Yeah, it's not so haunting when it's you get not to do so haunting, Christmas, although, when you get to do Scrooge. Although there is some haunting things in Scrooge, obviously. We did get to kind of load test it yesterday, I'll tell you, because we've obviously been doing rehearsal after rehearsal with this, but we had two school performances yesterday morning. And the top layer, you didn't get to see the finished product, but the top layer is Scrooge's bedroom.
Right.
He kind of looks down over everything as the ghosts show him. And when he finds out, spoiler alert, that he doesn't die at the end, that he gets to live and he has a second chance, Don Anderson really put some oomph into it and started jumping up and down on that second platform.
Wow.
And I'm sitting in the balcony going, please don't fall.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Like, you got to hold up for one more weekend.
Just get me through opening night at this point and we'll be good. I can fix anything.
You know, and the other reason I wanted to do this is, one, they are volunteers. They don't get paid to do this.
Right.
This is strictly, they just kind of show up and do what they can to make this the show move on.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of a community theater, is just people volunteering their time and their skills to help out when they can. You know, actors don't get paid, but they're always in the limelight because they're out front.
Mm-hmm.
But the people behind the scenes rarely ever get noticed at any point whatsoever. And it was kind of a neat way to show them in a light that most everybody doesn't even know they exist.
Yeah. And it's, I think, important just from a directing standpoint to make something that is aesthetically pleasing to an audience, because if you walk in and it's just a horrendous set,
it's the first thing you see.
Yeah, you lose it completely.
Yeah.
So while it is, you know, not studs and sheetrock and everything going into it, it's still something you want to be proud of.
Yeah, you want to make it look good.
So,
as Hillary Clinton would say, it's not lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first time Hillary Clinton's been quoted. Scott Morris usually does Donald Trump.
So. Oh, okay, I got you. Well, we got to get John Pitts in here then.
So, of course, there's lots of shots of them, you know, installing, they're making a door frame. You even came back, I guess it was when you were shooting for the actual story, some shots of the cast.
The cast actually using the set.
Before we had painted everything, and there was still blood all over the stage.
Yes, from the haunted theater. That's not actual blood.
No,
nobody
Scrooge doesn't go on a rampage.
Nobody died in the making of this set.
Or in a... Actually, people do die in a Christmas carol, but there's no bloodshed,
exactly.
I assure
no bloodshed.
It's all off stage. All right. Well, I appreciate personally, but I think the community appreciates getting a behind the scenes look at this. So thanks for doing that, Thomas.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime.
Well, it's Thursday, and that means M. Scott Morris is in the house to talk movies. Scott, welcome back.
Good day, young sir. How are you?
Good. I'm well. Thanks for joining us. Going to talk today about a Spike Lee joint. Chirac is the name of it.
Chirac.
Like Chicago. Yes.
Was that too loud?
That's the Samuel L. Jackson.
That's my Samuel L. Jackson impersonation.
I think you blew out the
somebody thing. With their headphones just kind of
drove off the road.
We have ears bleeding all across the world.
You have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. You turned me down?
Oh, man. So it's like Chicago.
We just played a scene of Samuel L. Jackson saying Chirac.
Yes.
I was inspired to try to do it as he did it, and that ticked off our producer.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Which is easy to do.
Yeah, well, so Chirac. It's like Chicago and Iraq. It's about the inner city of Chicago and just all the violence going on there. And it's interesting because it's kind of inspired. Again, Spike Lee directed this. His movies tend to be memorable, and he's kind of inspired by a Greek play, I guess.
Yeah. We didn't look up this pronunciation for this, but Lysistrata,
yeah,
by
Aristophanes
from the Greek days.
Yes.
Okay, so but here's the story. Simply is that's taken from that story is that there's all kinds of killing going on in Chicago, and yeah, people are dying, innocents are dying. A young girl is killed, and that inspires Lysistrata, character played by Tiona Paris, to. Well, let's see. We have to tread carefully here. I mean, mainly to for all women around Chicago to deny sexual favors to their men.
Yes.
Until the killing and the violence stops in Chicago.
Right.
And so that's what they set out to do. And I saw Spike Lee in an interview, and he said he believes this would actually work. But I don't know if he actually believes that based on his movie, because at some point he treats that idea like it's serious, because it's a serious topic, and other times he's just joking around with it. And so I'm not sure.
I don't know. All that bottled up testosterone might lead to more violence. But that's,
see, there is that. You know?
I like the thought of it.
This is a movie.
I saw somebody say the other day, if J.J. Abrams had said no new Star Wars movie until we end the gun violence, nerds would have that thing locked down in 2 weeks.
Well, that's
there
a good point.
Go. But they might not have been getting any anyway.
Yeah.
No. Hey.
good night, everybody.
Is there a mic to drop? They're stuck on these stands. Don't know how you'd drop them
after
that.
You just push it over.
You
just
knock it over and go. Good night, Chicago. But, you know, in addition to being a movie with a story and a plot, this is also an editorial that Spike Lee is making. And he is providing all this information about, apparently, there have been more people killed by gun violence in Chicago since 9/11 than we've had troops killed in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, these are big numbers. It's a big issue. I mean, after seeing the movie, I can't help thinking about what's going on down there. So it got underneath my skin, but it got underneath my skin as a collection of facts and figures and, like, some scary stuff. The story itself, though, is kind of at times hard to connect to.
Yeah.
Because he'll go into these absurd, he'll have these very heartfelt moments and followed up by absurd moments. I mean, at one point, these women wearing chastity belts storm a National Guard armory and take it over. And then they do like this, you know, somewhat lewd, dance that's all basically like, I mean, it's nothing that you wouldn't have seen on a MTV video,
yeah,
if MTV showed videos.
Yeah,
they do not.
So the tone is kind of inconsistent.
It's an inconsistent tone, and basically, for whatever reason, they cast John Cusack as the priest in the family.
Yeah, the cast is very interesting.
And he kind of describes it because he's from that area and he's a priest, so he wanted to serve that area. But he has this really long, long speech that's really... I mean, to me, it slows the movie down, but it's a big rally against gun violence, against guns, and against all these issues affecting the black community. And so it becomes, again, an editorial right in the middle of your entertainment.
Right.
And that information, I'm interested in that information. I mean, that's stuff that I think, wow, what's going on? Because I live a different life, and so I'm shocked by that, by what he's telling us about what's going on. And so I'm interested, but I'd rather watch a movie. I felt like Spike Lee spent a lot of time telling me things when he should have been showing me things.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson plays the narrator, Dolmades, however you pronounce that. And the rest of the cast is, to me, just kind of intriguing. You mentioned John Cusack. You've got Nick Cannon. You've got Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. Angela Bassett.
Is it the 90s again?
Jennifer Hudson is in there.
Jennifer Hudson. D.B. Sweeney.
Yeah.
Cutting Edge, anyone?
Yeah. Well, Dave.
That's the only thing I've seen him in.
Dave Chappelle makes an appearance.
Dave Chappelle.
Comes out of retirement to get up there and go on a profane rant. And I think
a lot of language.
I don't think that I could tell you any of Dave Chappelle's rant.
Not quotable on this podcast.
No, we've already pushed this too far. I mean, our producer Chris is already pretty red. He's got sweat coming out of his forehead. So we have to keep it. But it was enjoyable. It was funny. High comedy, low comedy, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, medium comedy.
So you would say this film is maybe in a lot of ways kind of ham-handed or heavy-handed just in its message.
Yeah. It's like a Spike Lee's got a hammer and we're all nails and he's going after it. At the same time, I do judge a movie on somewhat on how it sticks with me. You know,
right.
So whereas when I left the theater, I'm going, how am I going to grade this? Because I'm not sure how entertained I was, but I definitely was affected by it.
Sure.
And so I've been thinking about it quite a bit since, but I mean, and not all positive, but not all negative.
Yeah.
And so I have to give it a C where I come down on it. It's showing at the Malco in Tupelo and in Oxford.
Right. And you can read the review at djournal.com or in today's journal. Interesting. Scott?
Well, there's no point in reading the review. I just told them everything.
Well, there's
more
detail.
In my attempt to make this podcast great again,
there's more detail.
I just...
On that note, have you seen the video of the American Eagle attacking Donald Trump?
I saw is it a GIF or a GIF?
It depends on who you talk to. I say GIF.
I think the creator says of the guy.
The creator says GIF.
Even though it stands
me.
For graphic interface, whatever.
Language would tell you it's GIF, but I say GIF.
But that's peanut butter, and that's wrong.
But it's my favorite.
of Donald Trump getting attacked by the bird.
I saw that this morning, and I thought of you. It made me laugh.
And there are also like some stuff to put out about Ted Cruz with his family. I had a lot of outtakes of like they're shooting commercials, and they put that up on YouTube for some reason. And and you can see his family going, I don't want to be in this photograph. You know, like any kid would. I think it humanizes him actually because you just see him. You see him with these with kids going, just give it just for a second. Come on, just walk this way and smile. Is that so hard?
We've been doing it for 6 hours.
6 hours, Dad. I hate running for president.
I'm going to my room.
So, Chirac.
Chirac. All right. Good deal. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, the weekend's upon us, Derek. We know about the Christmas Carol play that you're doing.
To a fault almost,
that. I think. But there are other things happening.
Yes, and of course we want to give credence to those.
Certainly.
If you missed the Nutcracker in Tupelo last weekend, you have another chance with the New Albany School of Ballet. We'll present their Nutcracker Friday and Saturday this weekend at the Magnolia Civic Center in New Albany. Don't miss that. Tickets are $15, $10 for children. They're available at the door in New Albany. Also, the Carolina Community Theater, which is over there in Nettleton, is doing their performance of Christmas Comes to Detroit Louie. I believe Detroit Louie is a homeless man.
I don't know that one. Not familiar.
So Christmas is coming to him. Okay. That's also this weekend and again on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Old Carolina Schoolhouse in Nettleton. Tickets are $5.
Nice.
Can't beat that. Available at the door. A lot of people probably heading out to the Gaither Homecoming Christmas tonight.
My parents are going to be there.
Usually
they
always
go like every time.
Sold out. Yeah. Where do your parents live?
They now live in Oxford, Lafayette County, just outside Oxford.
Oh, okay.
They lived down in Houston for a good many years, but back home, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well, that usually gets a sellout crowd, and I imagine this year is no different for the Bill Gaither Vocal Band and his new members. A bunch of fresh faces I've not seen before now joining the Gaither Vocal Band. So that will be tonight at the Bancorp South Arena at 7 p.m. You won't want to miss that. That's always good good time that the attendants have. Mr. Gaither, I spoke to him a couple weeks ago, promised music, worship, and fun.
Sweet. North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra.
That's always an exciting one. The Christmas show is a good time. Stephen Bias was telling me about all the treats he's got planned for the symphony on Saturday night. Sounds like a good show. I hate I'm going to miss this one because of the play. There's always a lot of staples with the Christmas season around here. There's Nutcracker, there's the Christmas Parade, there's the Christmas Symphony, there's TCT's Christmas show. So
I can't get enough of Christmas music this time of year.
Can you not?
I got the Pandora going all the time at the house.
Just Sunny 93.3 is, you know, that too. As soon as the Thanksgiving at midnight, it's 24/7 Christmas music after that. So there you go. So yeah, you won't want to miss the symphony. It's at the Link Center on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door. You can get those at nmsymphony.com. Hey, on to, we've talked about Star Wars a minute ago.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to advanced screenings, I know Tupelo's got some on Thursday night ahead of when the movie comes out on Friday. I'd love to talk to you. I'm going to do a story in the Daily Journal one day next week about people and what they're doing and plans. And if you're marathoning all the movies, they are doing marathons in the theaters of all seven films starting at 3:30 a.m.
Wow. Well, since I haven't seen them all through, maybe I should go do that. Just go see.
Because you don't like Star Wars.
I didn't say I don't like them. They're fine. I just...
What have you seen?
Haven't been able to get into them. I think I've seen the very first two, because I still think of them in terms of...
So you've seen
the
four.
Ones back then.
Yeah,
I
so guess you've that seen would be four and five.
Four and five, I think. I've probably seen six or at least parts of it. And I've seen parts of the newer ones, but after the first prequel, I was like, eh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of Star Wars fans were not crazy about the prequels either.
They were not. They were not. They're very, very different from the original.
I mean, I certainly understand the importance of those films and respect what they did with the original Star Wars. But and they're good films. I mean, I've sat there and enjoyed them. It's just like I'm not crazy about them. That's all.
Well, the new one is very much, I think, a love letter to the fans.
Yeah.
That Disney wanted, after acquiring the Star Wars name, wanted to... to do.
Well, like I said, I'm going to go see it. Take my son. He's a big Star Wars fan. So
there you go.
We'll check it out. Be fun to see.
Watch the films with him. It's something for the two of you to do together. Certainly. After you get over the shingles, stay away from him.
Yeah, well.
Are you sequestered somewhere in the house?
No. I just can't. Like,
I mean, we've got you.
Keep my hands washed.
We've got you in a plastic bubble here in the room. We're in radiation.
Can't see it, but yeah.
We're in radiation suits.
In this bubble here.
No. Brad, we're talking to you today about... speaking of this, a global collect call.
Serial season 2 started today, a big day for podcasting.
It did.
So I've still
haven't listened to season 1.
Well, you're missing out. I listened to the first 3 seconds this morning, and it was already hard to hit pause on that. As soon as Sarah Koenig's voice came on, I was like, well, I must stop. We'll listen to the whole thing. So those come out every Thursday morning, and I'm excited for a whole new season of mystery and
nice.
They tell a story, you know, one story split up. Last season was the tale of a murder trial in Baltimore in Maryland.
Yeah.
And so this time is
Bergdahl.
Is Bergdahl, yeah. Yeah. So
I think it's the story in his words is what I believe it is.
They talked to him and then that in that typical delivery that Kana gives for Serial. I've seen a few tweets this morning, a few quotes, and one that I keep seeing going over again is, it's a quote of her saying, "Hi, I'm Sarah Koenig," and it cites her going, "That's me calling the Taliban." So I'm anxious to get started listening to that.
Yeah, you can start a new routine. Listen to Serial first thing in the morning and then the memo right after that.
Bam.
There you could listen to the
Thursday podcast day.
Memo
and then double coverage right after that. Speaking
double
of which.
Coverage. We got a new episode dropping today at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Parrish Alford, our Ole Miss beat reporter, and Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat reporter, every week.
It's okay. Mississippi is a hard word to say.
It is. Every week they discuss Ole Miss and State sports. We got bowl games coming up in a few weeks for those program, so I'm sure that'll be one of the topics. Parrish has an interview today as well, but look for that to drop this afternoon. You can download it on iTunes or your podcast app, or again, doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And then Prep Rally came out yesterday.
It sure did. Prep Rally, the new high school sports podcast /webcast. You can find it at djournal.com if you want to watch Gene Phelps and myself. Or you can go to preprally.djournal.com. You can listen to the audio there. So
coming to iTunes soon.
Yes, very soon you'll be able to get it directly from iTunes. Also need to quickly remind you all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Thrive.ms. I use Thrive.
You do?
I do. Okay.
Do you even get that reference?
It's yeah, because y'all have to, explained it to me.
Oh, okay.
To serial producer Dana Chivas.
I'm not sure how many, I'm not sure how many people listening get the reference. I guess if they listen to Serial, they do.
They should.
Yeah, well.
That's fine.
So there you go.
As much a reference as it is, just an annoying thing we do over and over again.
Speaking of which, you know, we actually use MailChimp.
Speaking of annoying things, here's Derek.
We've got the, if y'all haven't gotten the newsletter that we do every morning, you need to go sign up for that. There's a, I think there's a place at djournal.com you can use.
We use MailChimp.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
MailChimp.
And now you're losing me. You're going too deep for me.
Sorry. I was too far behind the curve. Get that reference. Sorry.
That's okay.
I have to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's it for us this week.
Yeah, be back Monday, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then the week after that, I'm out of town, so I don't know what we're doing around
Christmas.
Well,
I imagine when we get around Christmas time, I don't know how many episodes we'll be putting out. We're looking for producer Chris Kiefer to give us the answers.
Come up with a
there.
Plan.
We'll have a plan, but we'll be back Monday.
We could have a Christmas Eve episode, Thursday's the 24th, in front of the fire.
With, I'll be in St. Louis. I could Skype in, I guess.
We could do a Skype episode.
We could just get in front of a fire and tell Christmas stories.
Fireside Podcast with W. Yeah. Derek Russell.
I could tell stories. Just let me, I'll handle this.
William Derek Russell here with you on this Christmas Eve.
Good evening.
Telling stories.
Welcome to the memo. It's
Santa.
Christmas Eve. And
memories from his past childhood.
And here's Pat Benatar with Little Drummer Boy.
Pat Benatar.
This is your long distance dedication. All right, we'll be back on Monday. Don't forget to check us out, memo.djournal.com or at djournalmemo on Twitter. And also deepjournal.com is where you can find all the stories we talked about today, including Thomas Wells' photo essay, and pick up an issue of Mud and Magnolias. You can find that here at the Daily Journal offices, 1242 South Green Street, as well as various locations throughout Northeast Mississippi. We'll be back on Monday.
See ya.